how we say them, why we say them. And today's message, murmuring, complaining, murmuring and missing the blessings of God. We're going to discuss some about murmuring. But, you know, I was sitting there just a few minutes ago, and it's amazing how God just hits you. You ever have God hit you with something? Man, he about knocked me full of loop just a minute ago. I'm telling you. He hit me with something. And he said, I want you to go to 1 Peter. Now, our text, we're going to read two places for a text this morning, Proverbs. But he said, 1 Peter, chapter number 3. I want you to read to this group this morning one verse from 1 Peter, chapter number 3. And if you have your Bibles, 1 Peter, chapter number 3. You know what? I had to this just a few moments ago. I had never recognized this verse in the Bible. It fits so much in what I'm talking about here lately. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 10. I want you to look at it, church, and listen to what it says and pay attention to what it says. We've been talking about the way we talk and the things we say, and we are to guard what we say. We're to watch what we say. We're to watch how we say it. We're children of the living God. We represent God today. Everywhere we go, not just in the church house on Sunday morning, on the streets, when you go down the streets, in Walmart, when you walk the aisles, you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they ought to know that you belong to Jesus. So many people today, they would have no idea you even belong to Jesus by the way you talk, by the way you act, by the things you say or tweet or post. They wouldn't know you as a Christian. Amen. Listen to him. Don't get mad at the preacher. I'm just giving you what God told me to give you. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, for he that will love life and see good days, here it is, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You want to have a good day? You want to have a blessed day? Then you speak the words God would have you speak. You know why so many people have bad days? Because they talk bad. They talk bad about other people. They make fun of other people. They ridicule other people. They make fun of the church. They make fun of the schools. Let me tell you why. No wonder you're living in misery. Amen. Because you talk bad. We're to clean up our talk. We're to amen. Now you're too quiet. You're going to say amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. Huh. Preacher loves you, but he loves God more. He's going to listen to God. Yeah. Oh boy. I've got a long ways to go, Dale, just to be honest with you. The Lord's messing with me. I'm going to tell you what, the Lord has messed with me over the last few weeks. He's burning a hole in me. I'm burning up inside. I got so much to say, I can't say it. Amen. And I'm thinking, Lord, why are you burning me up with this? Why are you giving me all this? I don't know what to do with it. He says, you give it out. You give it out. Because we're living in a day when it's needed. We're failing to serve our God the way we should be serving our God. Well, I tell you what, he's throwing another one at me. Proverbs 18. It's hard to tell which direction I'm going this morning. I'm trusting my memory here. Proverbs 18. And somewhere down about verse 21, I think it is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that will love it, here it is, shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Now, if you're going to speak death, you're going to reap death. If you're going to speak love, you're going to reap love. You're going to eat whatever you speak. That's what the Bible says. And it's going to come back at you the way you put it out there. Now, I want to get to our text today and murmuring. Of course, murmuring is another word for complaining. We got a vast majority of people today that are giving their lives to complaining, and they're missing what God's laid in front of them. They're missing the blessings of God. They're unthankful. They're not thankful for what God has given them. They're complaining about it and fussing about it, griping. Proverbs chapter 30. I'm going to start there. And we've been talking about our talk. It's so important as our testimony. Let me give you a definition of murmuring or complaining, however you want to write it down. Here's your definition. It's to lament, to utter expressions of resentment, to murmur, to find fault, to utter expressions of pain. We are people given to complaining or murmuring because we want things our way and we think our way is always right. What do we complain about? Boy, we can make a big list, couldn't we? What do we complain about? Well, we complain about just about everything. We'll complain about our jobs. You better be thankful you got a job if you got one. People's losing their jobs. We'll complain about our jobs. We'll complain about the boss. We'll complain about the weather. We'll complain about slow drivers. We'll complain about bad drivers. We'll complain about waiting in line. We'll complain about the toll booths. We'll complain about mud holes. We'll complain about whatever is in our way. Amen? Huh. I got to tell myself. I don't know why the Lord's telling me to tell myself. But just recently, I was going home. You know, I live over Kegley and over on the Beckley Road. I was going, and I got behind this guy. He was going slow. I mean, going slow. You know, moping along, I said, "What is this, a funeral?" And I thought to myself, I began to murmur. I'm telling you the truth. I began to murmur. I said, "It's all solid lines. I'm going to break the law. I'm going to pass this guy. Where in the world is he going?" Huh? You done it? And you know what? The Lord convicted me. He said, "Maybe he's keeping you out of an accident." Huh? Maybe I put you behind that slow vehicle for a reason. And I thought to myself, just shut up and enjoy the scenery. Amen. That's a fact. And I'm telling you, we'll murmur about everything. Amen. And we'll complain and fuss and gripe. Maybe God's got you where you are for a reason. You ever think about that? What I failed to realize was God had me where he wanted me at that moment for a reason. I may not have liked it, but I was there. Let me tell you what murmuring and complaining does. It causes us to miss the blessings of God. I was riding behind this guy, and I mean, he was going slow. You know, speed limit's like 45 over there, I think. He had me doing 15. But you know what? I began to talk to God, and we had a good time. Took me forever to get home, but you know what? I began to say, "Lord, you know, it's been a good day." And we began to talk to the Lord. You know what? When we spend our time complaining about what God is doing, we fail to see why God is doing what he is doing. Amen? We fail to see what it is God is doing in our lives. We get caught up in our own cares and our own way when we fail to realize God's got another way. Now, Proverbs 30. I want you to look with me at verse 8 and 9. Look here what the writer says. Now, this is Agar. He's writing, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I just want to spend just a minute telling you what this writer is saying. The word convenient down here in verse number 8, he says, feed me with food convenient. That word means necessary. That means what I need. Give me what I need. The writer is asking God to give him what he needs. Not too much of what he wants or not too little. If we get too much, we fail to seek God. We fail to see a need of God. But if we get too little, it leads us to do things that we would not normally do. So God, you know my prayer is, God, give me what I need today and satisfy me with it. You see, when we become satisfied with what God has given us, we then see the blessings in the things God has given to us. Amen? I failed to see that maybe that guy in front of me, maybe he was sick. Maybe he was having car trouble. You see, at that moment in time, I was worried about me. Amen? Are you with me? And my worrying about me caused me to complain and murmur and fuss. Proverbs 15, turn over there. Proverbs 15, I want you to look at verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Now what's he saying here? It is better to have nothing and trust the Lord than to have it all and not have him. It's better for us to go through this life and have nothing and have the love of God in our hearts and to have the will of God in our hearts. So we'd rather have nothing than to have it all and lose it all and not have Christ and know Christ. It's better to have nothing and God any day than to have it all and to miss God. He says in verse 17, it's better to eat vegetables. If that's what God's given you, amen, than to complain because you don't have a T-bone. Amen. You know, if all you got to eat today is broccoli and cauliflower and beans, eat them. Thank God for them. Amen. Be satisfied with what God's given. And here it is. And I'm going to tell you what causes us to complain. People are not satisfied with what God has given them. Amen. If God wants you to have steak, he'll give you steak. We must learn to be content and be thankful for what God is doing in our lives and in our church. Hey, I'm going to go today to the children of Israel. That's where I'm going for a while. Now, I'm going to go to the children of Israel, and I want you to see how they failed to see the blessings of God and were given to complain because they were not satisfied with what God was doing for them. You see, the children of Israel, when they left out of Egypt and entered in the wilderness, headed to the promised land. On a good day, it should have took them 11 days to get there. They landed 40 years later. Well, they didn't. They all died. You know why? Because they was not satisfied with what God was doing. They were given to murmuring and complaining. And they died, except for two of them, in the wilderness. Complaining becomes contagious. You see, the devil gets in with people who want to complain. And the next thing you know, it spreads like wildfire. Now, I want you to go with me. We're going to several scriptures this morning. And I want you to bear with me. Hang in there. Use your Bible today. But I want to go to Numbers chapter 11. I know sometimes y'all think he's nuts. Sometimes he is. But But Numbers chapter 11, I'll tell you. I intended, if you want to know what my intentions was, my intention was just to preach 2 or 3 weeks on our speech. We're now going into 2 months. Numbers chapter 11, I want you to look at something. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of this chapter. Bible says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now this is the verse I want to pay attention to. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. We're going to talk some about that manna here in a minute. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses, well, I just want to stop there. We could go on and read, but I want you to go back to verse 4 and look at this. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And I want to dwell on this mixed multitude for just a minute. You see, this mixed multitude were the strangers and the foreigners and the slaves and the riffraffs that had tagged along with the children of Israel. When they left out of the land of Egypt, they tagged along. They decided we're going to go along with them. They were the strangers and the foreigners, probably looking for an easy way out of Egypt. But the way got hard and they began to complain. You see, these are people who were not putting their trust in God, but was out to get something for themselves. No doubt some in the crowd that day that may have been part of the children of Israel, left with the wrong intention. Now listen to me. When they began to complain, this mixed multitude, when the way wasn't what they expected or what they wanted, they began to complain and it began to rub off on the children of Israel, and they began to complain, and soon they had forgotten what God had done for them. Our churches today are filled with mixed multitude. They're filled with people who are complaining. They're filled with people who are arguing. They're filled with people who are infesting the house of God to the point that the people of God are forgetting the things that God has done for them. Amen. Hey, they were failing to see that God had given them everything they needed in the manna that fell on the ground. What are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? God had made every provision. Do you realize that manna was everything they needed? They could cook it any way they want to cook it. They could gather it. It had the vitamins, the nutrients, the minerals. It had everything they needed. Yet they were missing what God put down on the ground. Well, they were remembering the food in Egypt. Where was their mind going? Back to bondage. They were remembering the food in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the garlic. But they were failing to see what God had done by bringing them out of the bondage of the children of God. Let me tell you something today. We have been delivered from bondage. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin. God's kept us out of the pits of hell, but we're forgetting what our God has done for us. Amen. We're beginning to complain and gripe, fuss. Listen, there ought to be nothing but praise on our lips. If you're saved today, you've been delivered from a devil's hell. Amen. And God's given us all we need to sustain us along the way. Why in the world would the children of God give to griping? If somebody don't say amen, I'm going to run. I'm about to bust the way it is. Amen. I folded this message up and said, I'm not going to preach it. I did. I said, I'm not going to preach it. That didn't work. Because God said, yes, you are. Exodus 16, verse 2. The Bible says, now listen to this. Exodus 16 and verse number 2. Pay attention to some words here. The Bible says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. What does it say? The whole congregation. Murmuring had become so contagious that the whole congregation. By the way, you know how many people that was? Probably around 2 million. Counting the women and children. It was probably 2 million better people, and the complaining has become infectious. Now the whole group is fussing and murmuring and complaining. Now, I want to back up, and now I want us to look where this complaining started for the children of Israel. Shortly after their exodus from Egypt, they met with trouble. You know what they met with? They no more got out of Egypt. They're headed toward the Red Sea, and the enemy's coming up behind them. Pharaoh decides he's going out after them. Exodus chapter 14, verse 11, the Bible says, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now, the plagues that took place, God's delivered them from bondage. They ain't even got their feet tired. They've given to complaining. Rumor has it, word gets around, trouble's coming. The enemy's coming, and we're at the brink of a mighty Red Sea. I mentioned this last week. Hey, what are we going to do? When faced with what seems to be impossible. And by the way, we face some situations in our life that we would deem impossible. When faced with what seemed to be an impossible situation, the children of Israel quickly forgot God. And they began to listen to the wrong people. But even in that, God still loved his people. Amen. Even in that, God still brought deliverance to his children. And you know the story? God parted that water and the cross that went. Now you would think that'd be enough, wouldn't you? I mean, I like to go fishing. And if the water's ever parted me to walk across, I don't know. I don't think I'd ever forget that. It wasn't long after this great Red Sea experience that trouble showed up again. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it was 3 days later that in the wilderness, They had traveled, and there was no water. And what water they found was not drinkable. Look here, Exodus 15, verse 22 through 24. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Meriah, they could not drink the waters of Meriah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name was called Meriah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? What shall we drink, Moses?" Now look on down, it was in verse 25. Look how God blessed him anyway. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord shewed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped by the waters. They begin to murmur. They begin to complain. It's only been 3 days since they crossed the mighty Red Sea. They forgot how God delivered them. Hey, and now they begin to murmur to the man of God. And by the way, I'm so glad God loves us anyway. Amen. Hey, man. Even in all that murmuring, all that complaining, God provided them water to drink that they could drink, as unthankful as it was. Amen. They began to murmur because they became hungry. Exodus 16, we read out of Exodus 16 a minute ago. I want you to look at the first four verses. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after departing out of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. There it is again. Murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." Now, boy, ain't that something to say? Now, listen. They've already experienced God's goodness. They've already experienced God's blessing. They're missing God's blessing. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, and when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Problem. The problem was that they were so caught up with wanting their own way that they missed what the man of God said. Did you notice what he said? We just read it. God had provided for them bread from heaven. It was all they needed. And it had everything they needed. And when it came, they missed it. Look at verse 14 of this chapter, chapter 16. "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it," and this is what I want you to pay attention to, "and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'Is it manna?'" In other words, you know what they're saying? What is this? "Is it manna? For they wished not what it was. And Moses said unto them," now Moses probably was a better guy than I was, But Moses said unto them, this is the bread which God hath given you to eat. Aren't you listening? Amen. This is the bread that God has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Moses has probably said, listen, have you not been listening to what God's been saying? Have you not been listening to what God's been telling us? No, you're so caught up in fussing. You're so caught up in complaining that you missed the very blessing that God has laid at your feet. What is this? What is this white stuff on the ground? Moses, what is this? He probably said, you dummy. Have you not been listening to what God's been saying? You know what the problem with Christians today is? They're not listening to what God's saying. They're so caught up in their own way. They're griping and complaining and a-fussing, and they're missing God's blessing. You look how God's blessed this church over here, and there's people complaining about the blessings God has given us. You're missing out on God's blessing because you're so caught up in your own desires. Let me tell you what, you better get your face in God's word. You better get yourself on your knees and thank God for the blessings He's laid at our feet today. Amen. You may not like him, but you better thank God for a Bible preaching preacher. Amen. There ain't many of them left. Amen. Is that right, JP? Ain't many left. I'm telling you, church, your preacher loves you, but God's burning me up. People's feelings have been hurt over stupid stuff. Foolish things. It's not given to the child of God. We ought to be thankful for what God's doing. Souls been saved. You just heard. How many have saved in the last 2 weeks? Seven souls been saved. Well, glory to God. The devil can't have them. God has them. We ought to fuss about it. We ought to say, praise God for his blessing. Praise God for children being saved. Praise God that he's laid it down at our feet. Pick it up and enjoy it. It's a blessing of God. Don't complain about it and miss it. Pick it up and eat it and enjoy it. It's good for you. Woo. Hallelujah. Well, I gotta have a drink of water. There's two reasons why we complain. Number one, we complain because of entitlement. We think we're entitled to something. Amen. We think we deserve something. Well, you do. And I do. But we don't want what we deserve. Amen. We deserve something, all right. We deserve hell. Every one of us. But God's amazing grace will keep me out of it. Amen. Not nothing I'm doing, but all he's doing. Amen. And you know what along the way? You know what? Along the way, he's keeping my soul out of hell. And along the way, I'm picking up manna off the ground. And I'm throwing it in and eating it. And boy, it's sweet. And it's good. And it's nourishing. And when the devil comes, I spit at him a mouthful of manna. Woo-hoo! And the blessings of God began to flow. Now, I can't help it. You're just going to have to live with it. I may jump all over this place today. Now, I'm thinking about the manna that God's laid at my feet. When I get up, a fussing. You know, when I was a fussing about that driver, I was missing the manna. Amen. When I fuss about this and fuss about that, I'm missing the manna. It's on the ground. You know something else about that manna? It was convenient. All they had to do was walk outside and get it. Amen. They didn't do anything for it. Grace, grace, God's grace. Amen. I didn't do nothing for it, son. but God gave it to him anyway. Amen. 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 Huh. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Let's hang on. We complain because we think we're entitled to something. Number two, we complain because of lack of contentment. We are not content with what God has given us. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter number 2, Paul addresses this subject. And I want to start reading in verse number 12. For here the Bible says, I want to read down through verse 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, be content with what God has given you, and don't give yourself to murmuring and complaining. It only affects your walk with the Lord. It'll only affect the blessings that God is going to give you in your life. Paul said, told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Amen. I believe, and we see this clearly with Israel, that if we complain enough, God will give us what we want. And then we'll not want what we got. You see that example in Israel. You remember back when Israel wanted a king. They said, you don't need a king. Well, we want it. That's what we want. That's what I want. And God gave it to them. When they got it, they didn't want it. Amen. I thought about Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verse 13 and 15 through 15, the Bible says, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Now, you know what they're saying? God gave them what they wanted, and what they wanted caused them problems. Their soul starved to death. Now, folks, I know I've been your pastor now, be going on 5 years this year. I've seen God do great things. I've took a great lot of whippings. And I've took a lot of backlashing, a lot of back talking, a lot of people beating my name in the ground around this town. Unfortunately, it's other preachers and other Christians. But I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't no leanness in my soul. I'm full. Amen. I'm proud of where I am, and I'm proud of who I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And why God wants to use me, I don't have no idea. I don't have no idea. Matter of fact, I often say, Lord, what is it you see in this old boy? But boy, it burns me up. Oh, I'm not giving it up. I'm not giving up my thrill. Some have suggested I'd do better if I stood still. Nope. Because I'd bust. No. Nope. I'll tell you why the Word of God excites me. It excites me. It excites me. I got a whole lot to do yet. Amen. Y'all gonna stay with me? Don't start murmuring. Okay. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I've been giving you, how many still got their list I've been giving you? That's good. I'm going to back up one of these things and give you all of them. On your list, this is 21 through 25 of things that will help us with our talk. I've got this from a book I've been reading. And this, they're very good things. I'm going to give you and give you the scripture references. But my encouragement to you today is don't miss God's blessing. The children of Israel missed the manna on the ground. They said, Moses, what is this? What is this stuff? And Moses is like, where have you been? Where have you been? Have you not been listening to what God is saying? Church, I ask you today, are you listening to what God is saying? Are you trying to find out, or are you afraid of what God's saying? Listen, the blessings is laying at your feet. Amen. Pick them up and eat of it. I'm talking about God's holy word. Partake of it. Eat it. Digest it. It may be a little sour in your belly for a while, but boy, it'll straighten you out. It'll cleanse you. Amen. We'll give you five more things. Hey. Number 21. Knowledge holds back words. Proverbs 17, verse 27 and 28 says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Knowing some things, and I'm not talking about worldly things. I'm not talking about knowing things of this world. That'll only get you in trouble. I'm talking about knowing the things of God, and there are certain things in God's word, when you know them, will cause you to be quiet. Amen? You won't say what comes to your mind. You won't say what you think about another person. You'll be quiet because it doesn't please God. Number 22, make freedom words part of your vocabulary. Freedom words. Words that free people. Words that bring in freedom. Words that bring in joy. Not ridicule. Not tearing down. These words only hurt you. They make you look bad. And they hurt the one you're talking about. I don't like to talk to somebody who's all the time talking about somebody else. I say, won't you turn the mirror around and talk about yourself? Amen. Amen. Make freedom words part of your vocabulary. You know, Proverbs 6 and verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, thou art a snare with the words of my mouth. Thou art taken with the words of my mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the land of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Number 23, know the things that ought not to be. Now, James told us, over in James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are not after the similitude of God. Hey, there shouldn't, hey, sweet water and bitter water don't come out of the same fountain. Amen. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. Here's what he says. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We are to know the things that ought not so to be. We must give off sweet words. Amen. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I choke on sweet words to certain people. It's hard for me to say sweet words to them because I can't find any reason. But I don't do it. Amen? Yeah. Number 24. God will help you if you ask Him. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, I just can't. I just can't. I have a problem with bitterness and anger. I said, well, ask God to help you. God will help us if we ask Him. Psalm 3 and 4, the Bible says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. God hears us. Amen. We ought to ask Him for help. And finally, the last one is today. Let God speak through you. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. It says this. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His words was in my tongue. You know, I know we're human, and we're prone to the flesh, and we get aggravated, discouraged, mad, and all those things. I know. I'm there too. We get frustrated with things in this life, and we get aggravated, and sometimes things don't go the way we want them to go. Sometimes things don't go the way I want them to go. But one of the things that I try to do, and I tell you, I struggle with these things. One thing I try to do at the start of every day is say, Lord, I need to say the right things. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I take every day and do that. That's my heart's desire. But I find lately that God has been shutting me up. As people have come to me with things, and I just don't say anything. If you ever come to me and I don't say anything, that's because it's probably best I don't. But God, He begins then to deal with me and say, you know what? Here's what you need to say about that. Because we live in a day of people's hurting. Amen. And sometimes when they're hurting, people lash out. I worked 21, 22 years in the funeral business. I've seen people at their worst moment. I have been whipped at, swung at, beat up, hollered at, yelled at, cursed at from people that I know wasn't in their right mind. I've even had them come back and say, Brother Mills, we got to apologize. I got to apologize for the way I talked to you. My son had died. I said, ma'am, it's okay. I have no idea how you feel. Well, my children are still with me. I have no idea how you feel, honey. It's okay. I told one lady one time, I said, if you need to use me as a punching bag, you go ahead. It's all right. It'll be okay. You see, sometimes people might be hurting. Sometimes people might be going through a tough time. And all they need is somebody griping about them. Amen? Or complaining. Let me tell you something, folks. We're children of God. It may be me tomorrow needing somebody to help me. I heard him that Sunday I was gone, JP preached. I appreciate that message. It was good. But he mentioned the preacher. I appreciate that because he's exactly right. Preacher has problems too. Amen. Amen. And the preacher has down moments himself. We all do. It's the way we are. But our God is still the same. Amen. And I have never been where He didn't help me. Amen. I've never been where He didn't pull me through, even when I griped and complained. He still did. Now, I'm going to tell you, church. Gary, come on, let's get ready to sing. Let me tell you, church. You'll never have anybody that will love you more than your preacher loves you. You'll never find anybody that appreciates you. Maybe he doesn't say it to you often, but he loves you. And there's many new faces, and some of you I don't know. But I would like to. We'll get to along the way. But I must do what God tells me to do. Our time is short here. There's too much of this stuff going on in the world today. They're wanting to do away with the Word of God. They want to toss it out. They want to change it. They want to rearrange it so it ain't so powerful. We need the power of God's Word. Amen. And we need it to set down in your hearts today. Let me tell you, church, if you're here this morning, you're lost. Let me tell you, you're living in a scary day. We're right on the brink of the Lord returning. Amen. And if you're lost, well, you're in a mess. You don't have to be lost. See, that's the thing. You're lost because you want to be. You don't have to be. You can be saved on your way to heaven by God's marvelous grace. And then we become instruments of God. We become a voice of God. What is the voice we're radiating out? To the people around us, to those we love, to those that are lost. Listen, you know what the devil would have to happen in this church? He would have a spirit of bitterness flow through. And he would have us to begin bickering and complaining, just like the children of Israel did, and miss the blessings of God. I thank God for what he's done. If the Lord would tell me today, preacher, it's time for you to come home, that'd be okay. I'll be all right. I'm satisfied with what God's done. Amen? And what God's doing. But until then, we're going to keep hammering the nail. And you're going to get what you're getting. All I can say, if you don't like it, you'll have to mosey on. Because that's what it is. Amen? I've been called of God. And we ought to obey God rather than man. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your sweet, sweet word. How sweet it is to our hearts. And Lord, I just pray you help us. Help us, God, to get on the right track with you. Lord, let's not give way to the ways of the world. We live in a world today, all you hear is bitterness. All you hear is complaining. All you hear is strife and cutting down one another. God, help us, Lord, not to give to that. I pray, Father, for these in the midst this morning, that you will help them, Lord. Help us to obey God's word, not to miss the blessings you are laying at our feet. And God, if they're lost today, they'll get saved. Oh, Lord, I ask for your movement now. I pray you'll move in and out of each heart today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.